thanks, guys. Thanks for bearing with me and doing that as well. I'll explain more as we go along. For those who don't know, maybe never met myself before, earlier this year, so just after Easter Sunday in April, I went on my first sabbatical for 3 months. I've been in Christian ministry for 20 years with different churches and different ministries. So this is my first one that I've ever had, and I had 3 months, and it was very good. We've been part of Thornhill Church for 6 years. Actually, next week, we came in September 2019, I think. So it'll be 6 years next week. And so 6 years is actually 1 year earlier than normal. And because most people go on sabbatical after 7 years of being in church. But I didn't, just to clarify, I didn't go on sabbatical because I needed a break from you guys, okay? I wasn't struggling with church or my role as a pastor. I felt things were good, and we were in a good season. But the reason, some reasons I took it or asked to take it a year early is because I would say I went through, I probably termed it light depression about 1 to 2 years ago. I tried various things to help, went to speak to the doctor and put some things in place, tried to put some good things in place. But nothing really helped, and so I went on some medication, and that helped me. It helped lift me for a period of time, and it was really beneficial for me. Long story short, during my sabbatical, I actually came off my medication. I'm reviewing that, but it was really helpful for me during that time. Also, over the last 1 to 2 years, which I think is possibly down to not being very fit, I started having some heart and breathing problems. So again, went to get it checked out. Everything was okay, but they were monitoring there. And also, I was becoming quite angry or quick to anger with my boys. I'm quite relaxed and laid back. Obviously, I have 4 boys, so there are going to be times I'm going to be angry. but I was getting quick to anger. It was kind of... not normal in that sense. And so Becky was the one who noticed these things in me and said, yeah, you need to go check out, you need some help. And also the lack of sleep over the last 11 years has played a big part on myself and Becky. But it was Becky more than me, I was in denial for a while, who realizes I needed some time and some help for myself, my family, and also for you guys to help me serve you guys in the next season of Thornhill Church. And I approached the elders and then spoke to the trustees, and we explained it to the church, and you were all very grateful and allowed it, and it was such a blessing for me to have that time. And even whilst I was on sabbatical, some pastors, sadly, aren't allowed sabbaticals in their churches or denominations. I heard one guy who asked for it because he was struggling, and the elders basically laughed at him, and obviously that hurt his feelings. Some pastors don't believe in them. I even heard the argument that Jesus didn't have a sabbatical, so it's not biblical. But my argument is, Jesus didn't have 4 sons, and also he cleared off to heaven after 3 years. So, I just found it really helpful. I'm really grateful for it, and so I just want to share 3 things from many things that I could share in reflection of my sabbatical, and they're all in response to this word, really, gratitude. And that's the word I think, if I was to summarize my sabbatical, my overwhelming word that I felt during that time and coming back was gratitude. And just love the description of this. It says, the positive state of being grateful, an overwhelming feeling of appreciation and thankfulness, and the desire to return kindness to others. That's lovely, isn't it? Lovely word. And that definitely... expressed my feeling for various things But my sabbatical definitely helped that. And I've got gratitude for many things, but I just want to share three things that this morning that I was grateful for. Grateful for the gospel. I just renewed gratitude for the gospel. Grateful for family situation, and also grateful for being part of his church and with you guys in Thornhill. So just grateful for the gospel. Here's some great words from 1 Timothy. And it says this, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me the strength that he considered me. Like if you're feeling lonely right now or kind of lost or a bit dry, like he considered you. He considered me trustworthy, appointed me to his service, even though I once was, so this is Paul talking about this, even though I once was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent person, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. So he's talking about past tense, before Jesus, before he knew him, I once was. But then this happened. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Has that happened to any of us? Amen. And here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Look what he says there. Before then, he said, I once was before Christ, but now he has Christ. And Christ has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He's talking about past tense, but also he's saying about present tense. And if you know Jesus, and if you love him, I don't know about you, but I think every Christian would say amen to that verse. We would all think that, wouldn't we? We would think, I am the worst, because I know you, Lord. You've been gracious to me. You've been kind to me. You've been loving to me. And yet still I desire these things. Still I pursue these things. Still I look after or do these things. But listen to this. But for that reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Amen. And those words are not just kind of like for the Apostle Paul. Like this was the Apostle Paul who wrote most of the New Testament. He met Jesus in an unbelievably intimate way, a divine way where he knocked him off the horse. And he led countless of people to Jesus and equipped the church and helped. Like he had a great life for the Lord. So much so, he was so close to the Lord that even the Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh. And yet Paul says, I am the worst of sinners. And he says, I am the worst of sinners. And this isn't to like kind of beat ourselves up and say, oh, I'm worse than Paul, or he's not as bad as this person. But this is just to show the gratitude of the gospel. That even Paul, who knew Jesus, who was close to him, the closer he got to know Jesus and God, the darker he realized his heart was and sin in his life. But then the more appreciation he had for the gospel of Jesus, for the gospel and this gratitude that he had for him. And during my sabbatical, I experienced the same. Being under the word of God, being part of a church in Newport, just reading the Bible without having to prepare a sermon or do a study, and to just walk and spend time with the Lord, I just realized again how good the gospel is. Like, the gospel is good news. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? Sometimes we lose that. Sometimes it becomes average news or yesterday's news. But I realize the gospel is good news. Yesterday, today, and forever. And quite a few times, actually, during my sabbatical, I end up like just waking up in the morning and singing this song. It's an old song. Does anyone know this song? Put your hands up if you know this song. Quite a few of us. And this is this song, right? The words in this is just amazing words. And the gospel is so good, okay, that you can sing this. I can sing this when I was 18 years old, when I turned my life to Jesus, when I gave him my life. Yeah, that's true. But also, I can sing this song now 20 years on, and it's exactly the same. And if I'm still on this earth in 20 years' time, I can still sing this song. And don't know whether I've had a bad day or whether I've had a good day, I can sing this song. Whether you have refrained from sin for a week or whether you've got caught up in a week, you can sing this song if you trust in Jesus. Like, that is how good the gospel is. Like, that's how great it is. That is how good it is to sing these words. And if you know this song, if you don't know this song, then don't do this. But if you know this song, can we just sing it together as a statement of, this is true for me? Like, this is true. If you're gonna sing this song, like, you're saying, this is true for me. Whether I've had a great week or a bad week, whether I've read my Bible or I haven't, if my faith is in Jesus, this is true for me. And so if you can do that, then just sing with me. I'll start us off, okay? After three. One, two. Amazing words, aren't they? And that's how good the gospel is, that we get to sing those words. We can sing those words until we see him. But then I suppose the challenge for that is to keep believing the gospel, is to keep on being reminded of the gospel. The gospel isn't just for people who aren't Christians. The gospel is still for us, isn't it? Whether you know him or you walk with him, we need to believe it. We need to be reminded of it. And then live in result of that. And when we live in result of knowing the truth, like, we want to share others. We want to share it with others. Sometimes I felt like it was my job to share it with others, whether I was living it out or not. But when we live in it and we know it, we want to share it with others. And one thing I had when I was on my sabbatical, which I haven't had for a while, was time. Just time. And it's amazing, like, we got 24 hours every day. It doesn't change. We get 7 of them every week. It doesn't change. And yet, our time can be absorbed, can't it? Our time can be taken. And one thing I realized, like, the Holy Spirit is dangerous when we've got time. Like, if you've got time and you've got the Holy Spirit, like, that's dangerous. Like, that can be dangerous. If you have no plans or free day and you can pray this prayer, then you can be dangerous for the Lord. If you got some free time and you just say, God, I've got no plans, I've got these free hours, it's just me and you, Holy Spirit, just tell me what you want me to do. Lead me to where you want me to go. Show me what you want me to do. And it might just be, okay, just rest. Like, if you're a young mum right now, just looking at Leia, the Lord might be saying to you, all right, Leia, just catch up on some sleep. Just rest in my presence. Like, just rest, or be restored, or be encouraged. Or you might just say, just go out, go for a walk, and be prepared to just bump into someone and to share me with someone. Because if you read the Gospels, like, Jesus had boundaries. You can see he definitely had boundaries. He would sometimes go up mountains. He would go away from the disciples. He would go away from the crowd. And he would move on from people. But he allowed himself to be interrupted. Like the woman with a blood problem, or when he intentionally interrupted someone like Zacchaeus. The Gospels is full of interruptions. And don't get me wrong, there are times when we don't have time, isn't there? There are times when during work, when you're working, or when you're getting the kids to school, or on a way to an appointment, like these are head down times, aren't they? This is times where, like, I just got to put my head down and do this. This is my job. This is what I've got to do. This is my responsibility. And on Friday, I took Billy and Theo to town. It was my first time catching the bus in Cardiff. I haven't caught a bus for probably about 10 years. So me, Billy and Theo went into town, and I didn't want to lose the bus on the way back. So just on the way back from the bus, there was a guy who stopped me and was trying to sell me something. You know, like lots of people trying to sell you stuff. And I was like, sorry, mate, I haven't got any time. I've got to go and catch the bus. And that was legitimate. We had to go and do that. But also, there are lots of times where we do have time. Whether you have a dog and you go dog walking, whether you do the weekly shop in Sainsbury's, whether you're catching a bus or going for a walk or whatever. And these times, rather than being head down, like these can be head up times. These can be times to say, okay, Lord, like I just want to be available to you. If nothing happens, but I want to be available to you. And so on Friday, I didn't have any time for that salesman. But when we got on the bus, the boys wanted to sit at the back, as boys do. And then who was the only other person who sat at the back? A teenager. Oh, no. One of those dodgy types. So I went and sat at the back with the boys, and he was on his phone. But I just noticed his trousers were dirty. And I was like, right, either he's been working or this is like a new fashion statement that I'm kind of not aware of. So I was like, if I say something now, I could just offend him. But I was like, oh, I'll take a risk. And I said, oh, excuse me, your trousers are dirty. Like, have you been working today? Thankfully, he had been working. But then that started a conversation, probably about 10, 15 minutes. End up talking about school assemblies. He was brought up in Thornhill School. He can remember a guy from Heath Church who used to go in to do assemblies. I end up talking to him about me being colorblind and his father's colorblind and how that's part of my testimony and how I'm not insecure about it now because of Jesus. And it didn't go any much further than that, but we spoke about 10, 15 minutes. But if I hadn't have asked him, mate, your trousers are dirty, have you been to work? Like, I wouldn't have been able to sow those seeds. And that might be someone's boy or grandson or relation that someone is praying for. That they are praying. We've all got people in this room right now that you are praying for, close family, close things, and they don't want to know of you. Like, they don't want to know. Like, stop talking to me. They don't want to know. And they will shut you down. But if that's the case, let me encourage you, pray for people to be in their way all the time. Pray for them to get interrupted with people all the time. And maybe I was an answer to prayer from a gran or someone in that boy's life to remind them about Jesus, to remind them about those assemblies, to remind them that God loves them and that he doesn't have to be insecure. And so let's have... be available, and so I appreciated the gospel. So let's keep believing and keep spreading the gospel. Another thing I was grateful for was just family situation, and some of these verses, 1 John 4:6, God is love. And then these famous verses, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. Which I shared to you at the start of my story, like I was the opposite of that. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And Ephesians, therefore, be imitators of God as his beloved children. And these Bible verses, especially the Corinthians ones, are used a lot in weddings, aren't they? You go to a wedding, and these verses are often used. And when these verses are used, like, this is great. Like, this reflects maybe something of the husband and wife to be. And Tom and Phoebe, is Tom and Phoebe here? Tom and Phoebe are getting married in how many weeks now? Seven. Tom, how many days and minutes and now? Come on, mate. So these guys are getting married now in 7 weeks. And you guys are probably looking at these verses, and maybe Tom, you just nudged Phoebe and just said, that's me and you, Phoebes. Like, that is us. And that's great, isn't it, when we have that feeling, when we have that love. But then, where's Johnny and Alice? Johnny and Alice, how long have you guys been married? 4 and a bit weeks. And Johnny's going to kill me for this, but I asked him, oh, how's married life going? And Alice says, when he sweats, he smells of curry. After a career. And so you don't get that in the marriage prep. It doesn't say love is curry or anything like that, okay? But like, these are great verses, and they are great verses that remind us of the love that we have for each other. But I don't know about you, but sadly, it didn't take long in my marriage to sometimes do the opposite of what love is. Sometimes if you look at my family and my situation, I'm often quite the opposite of what love looks like. And then we can look at these verses and we can think, I've failed. Like, I'm a failure. I'm not like that. I've failed. But actually, I found that these verses are actually more of a description of God. Like John 4:16 says, God is love. So God is patient. God is kind. God does not boast. God is not proud. But because we have the Holy Spirit, we can imitate Christ, and we are called to then live in this love. And your family situation might be amazing right now. It might be like the best it's ever been. It might be great. And so you can say amen to all of this. Like, this is what our family looks like. But also, your family might be a real struggle right now. It might be a real hard place. It might almost, like, you look at that and think, well, mine is the opposite of that. My experience right now is the total opposite. Or maybe it's a real struggle right now, but then it has been amazing in the past. And we often use the word blessed, or that person's blessed, or you're really, really blessed. And that's a good word to say, but we need to be careful of what blessed looks like. If you look at Matthew 5 with the Beatitudes, Jesus changes what we might think blessed is. He says, blessed are the persecuted. Like, blessed are the poor. Like, these are the ones who are blessed. And what God calls blessed can compare to what we think is often very different. And I'm married with 4 boys. And so my people might say, well, you're blessed. Like, you're blessed. This is the life. This is what it is. So this is what it means to be blessed. And of course, there's massive blessings in that. I'm really grateful. But being also married with 4 boys means, like, life is very full on, very tiring, and it is unbelievably loud. Like, our next door neighbor's house has been up for sale for about 7 or 8 months now. And I think they come there, they look at it, and then they go out to the garden and see 4 boys going crazy naked on a trampoline, shouting and think, right, this is not for me. And so, like, there's blessings on there. There's great. We really appreciate all that we have. But there can be difficult times, isn't there? There can be hard times. There can be times, struggling times with that. You could be single, living alone right now. And this can give you great freedom, but also it can be unbelievably lonely. Like, there's blessing, but also it can be very hard with that. You may have parents who are alive, and that's great you have them, but one of them may be unwell, and that's a really hard time to see them like that. Like, how do you care and love for them? Or you could be divorced or have children from two sets of families, and this can bring great, like, restoration in that, but it also can be difficult. And so if your family's in a great place right now, like, that is great, but we all know, sadly, because of sin and the effects of sin, like, it will go through tough times, won't it? It will go through hard times with that. And during my sabbatical, I heard a sermon, and he was talking about parenting and children, and he says, if you have a compliant, well-behaved, loving child, this will teach you appreciation. And I'm not going to name names, but we've got, right now, we've got 1 out of 4, okay? And, like, it's just, you see that, and you enjoy it, and, like, you're like, oh. And there's a little bit of you think, like, we are just nailing this parent business. We just know exactly what we're doing. But there's just that appreciation, oh, this is, like, what it's meant to be like. There's a lovely sense of that. But he says, if you got that, then that will teach you appreciation. But then he said, if you have a tough, rebellious, difficult child, that will teach you the gospel. So one of them will teach you appreciation, but the difficult, the rebellion, the difficult parts, like, that will teach you the gospel. That will stretch your love. That will show you what it means to love through all the difference. And right now, I'd say we got 3 out of 4. But that will show you that. And it's not to compare. It's not to say, oh, I want you all to be like this. It's not to blame or to put on, oh, you need to be more like your brother in this way. But we just know life is different sometimes, isn't it? And there can be different seasons, and we've got to love through that. And I love my wife and my boys more than any other human beings on this planet. I love Jesus first, just because I believe he's God and he's given me my wife. I look to love my wife second, because I believe my sons came from her. But then we look to love our boys together as well then. So I love these five people more than any other human beings on this planet. And my sabbatical gave me more time with them. I was in every evening. Becky'd be like, oh, what are you doing tonight? I was like, I'm not doing nothing. I'm here. That took her a while to get used to that. We went away on 3 holidays, which is amazing. We had some amazing times, and we were really grateful for that. And actually, on the Sunday I came back here, we were having breakfast together, and Lewis, before eating Cheerios, he said, I'll pray this morning. And whenever Lewis prays, you're like, I don't know what he's going to say on this one. And he said, thank you, God, for my Cheerios. Thank you for this new day, and thank you for Dad's sabbatical, and we look forward to another one in 7 years. Amen. And that's what he said, and went into his Cheerios then. So there were some great moments with that, but also over the last 3 months, because we've had more time together, we've had some really rocky times as well. We've had some difficult stages with the boys. Me being around more and then not working, like, that took some time. Me and Becky took it out on one another and argued quite a bit. And I love Becky and the boys the most, like I said, but also I hurt them more than any other human beings as well. And the reason I hurt or we hurt or upset one another is because we love one another, isn't it? Like, that's why we love one another. And so when we don't love one another and treat one another differently, or badly, like, that's why it hurts. Like, we look at these verses and thought, like, I thought my marriage was supposed to be patient, kind, forgiving. I thought my boys were supposed to be slow to anger, to protect, to trust me. And we can look at that and think, like, we've failed. And we can echo Paul's words and think, he came to die for sinners, for which I am the worst. But let me just encourage you, like I said, these are words to describe our Heavenly Father and how he feels about you. God is patient with you. Like, he's patient with you. God is kind to you. He is forgiving to you. God keeps no records of all your wrongs. Like, imagine the list he could have on you. Imagine the pen and the ink and all the data he could have on you and just your wrong. He keeps no records of it. He's wiped it clean. And guess what? He never fails. Love never fails. He never fails. And if that struck a chord with some of you today and you had some difficult family stuff, then please let us know. We'd love to pray for you as that. But we're called, aren't we, to love our family through the different seasons of life, through the highs and the lows. And also, we need one another to help do that. We need together. And so finally, and just quickly, we need his church. We need one another. And so I'm really grateful for his church and for you guys during my sabbatical. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit. Even so, the body is not made up of one body, one part, but of many. And then it goes into those different verses. Have a look at that, the different body parts. And verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And verse 27 says, now you, talking to believers, us even today now, 2,000 years on, with the Holy Spirit inside us because of Jesus, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Like, we are his body. We are his church. This building will decay and rot away, but we are his body. And so I just want to say to you guys, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to have time. Thank you for serving me with that. Thank you for understanding, like unbelievably understanding. Like, I've heard stories from other people in other churches which sabbatical has been a really difficult time. Like, just thank you so much, guys. Like, your understanding and appreciation has meant massive to me. Thank you for looking after Becky and our boys whilst I was here. It was weird going to church by myself and Becky and the boys coming here, but thank you so much. I knew that you would love them and look after them. I went to a church in Newport, Christ Church, for my time there, and they really looked after me and loved me and just allowed me to just be fed and enjoy, and I really appreciated my time there. But it's also interesting, during my sabbatical, I had feelings or emotions or experiences that I wasn't prepared for, that I didn't know what was going to happen. For instance, it showed me for the first time what it was like for new people to come into church. Like, I'd never really experienced that. And all of a sudden, like, I get to experience what this feels like for people. It got me to experience what it means for single people to come to church. Only two people knew me there. They just thought I was a single guy coming in there. And so I got to experience what that felt like. And also I got to experience what it felt like for people who didn't know me or necessarily need to talk to me. Like, I wasn't important. And like what that felt like then to be in church. But they really looked after me and loved me, and I learned from that. And so the beauty of church is that we are his church. People of different tribes, nations, cultures, all saying that Jesus is our Savior. Amen? And now we are his church, and we get to live in that, we get to experience that, we get to live that out. But the danger is that we can believe the gospel, what I said, We can even love our own physical families, but then we can then not love others in our church. And the reason I asked you to sit next to each other from different households is because we are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the family of God. And so let's make sure that we continue to love one another. Let's make sure that we continue to give time to one another. And let's make sure that we are body parts joined together. We don't do this in isolation. Like, we don't do this just for 2 hours on a Sunday. Like, we are meant to be his body together. And I'm just going to finish with a video. But the reason I asked you to sit together as well is when we were in Dunvant in Swansea, I noticed Becky's grandparents, they'd been married for probably 50 odd years, something like that, and been part of this church, seen it grow from like say 10 to like 150 through all the difficult and legalistic times. But then when I started going to Dunvant, I realized that they never sat together and they always sat next to different people. And I thought, these guys need to do the marriage course. Like, it's obviously difficult here. I need to unpack this. I need to work this out. Not realizing that they were just a completely different level. A completely different level. And I asked them about it once as I went over their house one afternoon for a catch-up. And I said, oh, why do you not sit next to each other? And they basically said, oh, look, we love the gospel. As we've said, we love the gospel. We read his word. We're in his word. We love him. And not only do we love him, but we want to share him. Like, that's what we do individually. Like, we love one another. They argue every day, but they laugh every day. And they've done that for 60-odd years. We love each other. We wake up together. We spend every day together. So he says, if I love the church, and I'm with the Lord, and I'm with my wife all the other days, then he said, surely I can give myself to other people on a Sunday, and my wife's going to be okay with that, and I'm going to be okay with that. Like, that's just different level, isn't it? That's like different level. Like, we all kind of come and naturally sit in our families, and we can do that, and sadly we can do that, and sometimes we can walk out. But like this, they just had a different mentality. Like, if they see someone who's single, I'm going to be the one to sit them. If they see someone who's new, I'm going to be the one who's going to approach them. If they see someone who maybe is even difficult and is going through a difficult time, like, I'm going to go and give myself to them. Like, that's the church, isn't it? Like, that's the church. And we all get to be a part of that. And so just have a think next week. Who are you going to sit next to next week? Also, if you want to sit next to my boys, then feel free, okay? You can have the front row, I'll sit to the back. Keep believing and keep spreading the gospel. Let's love our families through the different seasons of life. Let's intentionally give ourselves time and love to each other as his church. And just let this, it's just a video to just finish off. Listen to these words before I come and pray. We're going to end with this, not a song. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And this is true today, tomorrow, and yesterday.